FM and 1700 The Champ, a Cumulus Media station broadcasting from the now hiringiowa.com studios. Live from the capital city, it's Steen on Sports.
Welcome back in, everybody. Happy Friday. Hope everybody had a great day. Drive safe. Lot of rain. We need the rain. So I guess that's the biggest thing. Hopefully it's hitting in places that it needs to be. But a cold and dreary day for this Friday. You are listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ and the website 1700thechamp.com. Oh, let's see. What do we have? Saturday, we have UNI South Dakota State. Huge game for UNI. If you're a UNI fan, get up there. Listen to it. Do everything that you can, and try to get the UNI Panthers to be a huge upset win. Sunday, this is the cool thing. I thought about this today when I was listening to the radio. How much live sports are played on this station? We are a UNI affiliate. We're a Kansas City Chief affiliate. It's great to be that. But, I mean, that's a lot. We had the Eagles-Texans last night. UNI South Dakota State tomorrow. You got Chargers and the Falcons, Seahawks and the Cardinals. So those are just two regular games. Then you have the Chiefs. We're Chiefs Radio Network. So you get Chiefs and Titans. So they'll be at 6. And then Monday night we get UNI basketball against Wartburg. For those of you out there, we are a UNI affiliate. If we have the UNI has a sporting event that we put on the radio, it takes precedent over anything else. If the Kansas City Chiefs are on, we're playing the Kansas City Chief Network over everything else as well. Want to take time here to thank the sponsors of my show, Northwest Bank, Woodman Controls, Des Moines Orthopedic, Heritage Building Maintenance, Palmer Group, BetMGM, Come and Go. I have one more Palmer Group interview, and it's Chris Lorenz, Executive VP. He's been on before, so we're going to have some fun with him. We'll talk some sports. We'll talk some business. Tell him just how great a job that everybody does at Palmer Group. The people that come on, the people that I deal with to make sure we can make these things happen. It's just a top-notch company, and it's a blast to do stuff with them. We also have BetMGM. You hear my BetMGM commercials all the time and Come and Go. My Come and Go commercials are out there as well. So trying to think of the topics. It's Friday. I got one more. B Styles coming in at 5:21 today. He's got some college football picks that are out there. We'll kind of go through those a little bit before he comes on. That way you kind of understand where he's coming from. Biggest stories of the day. Kyrie Irving still a big story. With all of this, it's such a delicate thing because, you know, I have times when I think things are pretty cut and dry, and then I will have somebody come and we'll talk about it. Or a subject or an issue, and it brings some different thing into the equation. You have to look at this Kyrie decision. And Kyrie, just if you haven't seen or you haven't been listening to the show this week, he'd seen a film. I think it's Business Partners, or it might be A Business Partner of Business Partners. It was a pretty anti-Semitic movie, bad, and it is a very delicate situation. Adam Silver had issues with it. He's Jewish. a lot of ownership groups out there. I mean, it's difficult. And I'm trying to think the easiest way to, the Brooklyn Nets are very eclectic already. And eclectic is, I think one of the problems that the Brooklyn Nets have is they're not much of a team because they're so eclectic. They're all like they're in their own worlds doing their own things. And, you know, if you're a golfer or a tennis player or something like that, I understand you can be as eclectic as you want because you're not affecting anybody but yourself. Scott and I thought we had a really good conversation about this yesterday. The company that I work for during the day, my fun job, my real job, not that this isn't a fun job, but I have to always make sure that I also tell them that it's a fun job too. And it is a fun job. We are big enough that we compete and we're small enough that we can act like a family. And I think we do that sometimes, most of the time. And if you had somebody in our company that would have said something that would have been down the lines of what Kyrie Irving had, I would have a feeling that even a company of my size would have pulled that person in and said, listen, words have consequences. And we understand where we come from and what we do, right? That this, it's a free world with free speech. But there's underlying rules to that. And I mean, there are underlying rules all the way through it. You can't just walk in and yell fire in a crowded room. Yeah, I mean, there are just so many different things. And I think the toughest thing about all of this is Kyrie could have said, you know what, I misplayed the room. I think what I said got taken out of context. That's a tough one anymore because everybody says that. And it was taken out of context because it caused me anguish and got me in trouble. So that wasn't the content that I wanted. And that's not what the definition of it was taken out of content is, or context, whichever. I think the thing that irritated people the most is Kyrie can't. It's like he can't see the forest because of the trees. He can't see that what he said or what he did or that it has ramifications. It has ramifications in Brooklyn. It has ramifications in New York. It has ramifications around the league. And when you state something and it has ramifications, people are going to be upset about it. And he won't apologize for what he said because he said what he considered what he said is not something that he's going to apologize for. And what Scott and I talked about yesterday and with Happy Hour with Steen in Sports yesterday, I think Scott and I finally got to an agreement that when you have the ability to say whatever you want, but you have to be able to live with the consequences. And the consequences for Kyrie Irving is, one, he's not going to play for at least the next 5 days or 5 games. I think it could be a year long. I think he could be cut. I think the NBA, if he's cut and somebody else wants to pick him up, I think they're going to put a moratorium on it for a year to make the punishment more. You have to make sure in a business, a multi-billion dollar business, that you can't have somebody just throw you off the rails and have no ramifications for doing. KD didn't help. I mean, KD wants to be, he wants to be an icon. He wants to do all these things, and he's doing them, but he doesn't want to be the dude. I guarantee you that Steph Curry would have pulled. Now, would Steph Curry have done it in front of the cameras? Probably not, but I guarantee you he'd have pulled Kyrie Irving aside. I think LeBron James would have done that. I think A lot of players in professional sports would have taken him aside and said, okay, I'm going to try to work through this with you, and I'm trying to get it so you can have a little bit of both, that you can still have your idea, that you can say what you want and your feelings need to be heard, but you also have to know that there's ramifications for what you said, even though you don't believe that. It's not about you believing it. It's about what people's perception of it was. And there was enough people that it caused an issue. I think we try to get away with that in especially here where all the freedoms are, that you can say anything and nobody can do anything about it. That it's just not true. It might even be more less true now, because before, if Kyrie Irving would have said that before, he'd have said it to one guy, he could have denied it. But social media, man, that's you're out there. It's always going to be out there, and you're never going to get rid of it. And you have to be careful. And it could, nothing could have happened in the first couple of months, and then somebody could have said, hey, you know what? Did you really hear what he said? And they could have brought it right back. I mean, all these things. I think the best thing for the Nets to do, but the Nets need some help from the NBA if they would do this, and I don't think there's anything in any kind of bylaws or contracts or anything that you can cut him and without suspending him from the league, try to convince 31 other owners that you can't don't give him work. I don't think they have that kind of clout, that stick togetherness to do that. But it's been a big story. It's probably one of the biggest negatives with the NBA this year. I think there's a lot of positives. I think the NBA is better at getting out in front of things. And it's kind of difficult for them right now, because you have baseball going on, you have hockey going on. You have football going on, you have college football going on, and you have the NBA. College basketball starts on Monday, and you have all of these things, and you're trying to compete for your piece of the pie. Usually when you think of the NBA, the way I think of the NBA, I think you get through Thanksgiving, I'm still watching football, but that Christmas Day where you get four or five NBA games, to me, that's when the basketball season starts. Now, for me, I have individuals that I want to watch in the NBA. Do I have a team in the NBA? If I had to say I had a team, I really like Golden State. I really want to be. I like Zion, and I like the Pelicans, but I like Ja Morant. I mean, there's just a lot of things. I just like watching the players. But if I probably had to pick one, it'd be Golden State. But I love when you're watching the Joker. I love when you're watching Luka. I love when you're watching LeBron James. Even though I don't necessarily agree with LeBron James, and I don't agree with all the things, watching him play basketball, especially at this age. And I'm trying to put this into perspective that, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar played until he was in his 40s. But it was a different NBA, and he was just a different cat. What LeBron's doing at his age and where he's at is pretty amazing. It just shows just the God-given body and talent that he has. He's just so big that, you know, he's had injuries, but, you know, not like somebody that would, I mean, he is, people say he'd be a tight end. I mean, he's precariously close to being like a defensive end, a big old linebacker, and you put some pounds on him and he's an offensive lineman. He's just very interesting. But I think the NBA is going to be okay. One of the things I think they're doing a better job this year of getting younger stars on TV. It doesn't always have to be LeBron. It doesn't always have to be Golden State. You're getting Ja Morant on. You're getting Zion on. You're getting Tyrese Halliburton's been on a couple of times. I think that's great. I think the NBA is learning that it's not just about what the league considers to be its five or six most popular players. A lot of teams are really good, and they've been a lot of fun to watch. We have big football games this weekend. I think Iowa has a bigger game because I think their season still teeters on this game. I think if they come out and they play like they did last week, and they go to Purdue and they offensively look okay, but defensively dominate, then I think what people said before is, listen, and I think a lot of it's true. Iowa played some of the toughest defenses in the country, and their flaws were exposed, but that doesn't mean that everybody has a defense that can expose our flaws. I don't think anybody on the offense got better last week. I just think the competition got worse. I don't know if you can get that offensive unit better in the amount of time that you have to do it. The same type of season saving is there for the Iowa State Cyclones. This is it. These are win games, or you have zero chance of going to a bowl game. So what you're looking for from the Iowa Hawkeyes is I'm looking for continued offensive growth and the same defense. Because sometimes what happens if you get offensive growth, then maybe the defense takes a breath, and you don't want that to happen. If that game was at home, I would definitely be picking Iowa to win that game. The simple fact that it's in Purdue makes it more difficult. It's not as easy. You don't have all the fans. So when good things happen, they don't embrace you more. For the Iowa State Cyclones, this isn't just about a bowl game. This is about saving a season that the fans and everyone are not looking at failures of this person or that person or this person. They're looking at failures of scheme and coaching and philosophy. I don't think there's a lot of people that are pointing fingers at players. They're awfully young. We just went through a five-year period where we had guys for a long time. But I think there is a time and a concern looking at what's happening with coaching. And that's not a good thing either. And the same thing is at Iowa as well. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 Champ AM. I will be right back.
Here's a look at traffic on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ. Now, Central Iowa's home for sports talk radio. Steen on Sports, real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in. Once again, happy Friday. A dreary Friday. But it's still the weekend, folks. Be safe driving home. There's a lot of traffic coming out here, so I guarantee you there's going to be a lot of traffic going home. Daylight savings time. So we're losing an hour or gaining. We're gaining an hour of sleep. Maybe that's how to look at it. But when it for me, leave home around and saying home. Forgot to hello Nana. Love you Nana. Love you DJ. So I leave Nana's about 6:30, dark. Leave here at 6:15, and sunlight, and it's been nice. Last night, dark. So now I'm gonna dark. Now it makes those 12 hours that you're up and going all the time, Monday through Friday, it makes them even harder because you're in the dark all the time. Not that I'm not in the dark all the time as it is. So. With that being said, you are listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day, right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, real sports talk for real sports fans. Check us out on Twitter, at Steen on Sports and at 1700 The Champ. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ as well. Website is 1700thechamp.com. I will have yesterday's show and today's show up on podcast, hopefully tonight. If not, I'll have it up there on Sunday because tomorrow is a football game and it's a 2:30 football game. So your day is pretty much done. Pretty excited. Looking for a win tomorrow. Interesting weather going to be had tomorrow. So we'll see how that all goes. We have UNI South Dakota State tomorrow. It's a huge game. What a big game. South Dakota State, number one in the rankings for FCS. UNI is in the receiving votes. UNI gets right back in and gets ranked in there if they can pull off an upset. The only loss South Dakota State has had is a ridiculously sad game with the Iowa Hawkeyes. But we all knew that they were a good football team. So This segment is going to be brought to you by Des Moines Orthopedic, helping you get back to living through orthopedic care. Three locations, 6001 West Town Parkway in West Des Moines, 1301 Penn Avenue, Suite 213 in Des Moines, 350 Northeast 36th Street in Ankeny. I was up there today. I was working up at North Ankeny Medical Mall today. Services include foot and ankle, hand therapy, hip, knee, shoulder, spine, sports med, sports rehab, trauma, and urgent injury. Speaking of urgent injury, DeMoss's urgent injury clinics at both Ankeny and West Des Moines locations. Appointments as are not needed. And you can look up wait times, and they're pretty darn accurate too. It's quite nice to have. The hours in West Des Moines are 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Thursday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Fridays. Saturday is 8 to noon. Ankeny's are Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. Saturday from 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. I was talking to some of the gals up there today, and I told them about this sentence I'm getting ready to read. The difference between urgent care and emergency rooms is the severity of health, the health problem. If the condition is life-threatening, bone sticking out, bleeding really bad, you can go to the emergency room. If the condition is a minor illness or injury, take advantage of the convenience and affordability of your urgent care has to offer. New to DeMoss is their Engineer Performance by DeMoss, world-class sports rehab and performance training center in Central Iowa, 1711 Southwest Plaza Parkway in Ankeny. They also have locations in Grimes and Huxley. Not only are they going to help you rehab, but they're going to help you with your training too. And I think that's a really important thing. The amount of training that is done in high school sports nowadays compared. So I'm comparing 20 November 4th, 2022. And if I take that back to when I was, I started varsity when I was a junior, so that would have been, so if we take that all the way back to 11-6 of 1980, 82, 83, 84, right around in there. You're finding, you're drinking Gatorade, you're doing all these things. Man, we were drinking a Diet Coke. Yep. And having McDonald's and rolling in and not taping and not stretching and not doing anything. Boy, has the world changed. And I wish I would have changed with it, because at 57, well, I'm not 57. I don't turn 57 until Sunday. When I turn 57 on Sunday, I can hear the words of my father saying this every single day. Is, man, if I knew I was going to live this long, I'd have taken better care of my body. And by golly, I agree with that. I would have done things a lot different. But hey, here we are. We're having fun, having a blast doing this show. I was just out talking to Kim. She's doing the updates on the drive home, drive here. And I was just telling her how great a job. She's doing a great job. And she said, puddling. And I giggled. I'm like a 9-year-old most of the time. This segment I'm going to try to hit just really quick. Once again, I've listened all day long today. I'm doing budgets at work. And I was up at North Ankeny kind of working on a little bit of things up there, just making sure that nothing goes wrong. While Jimmy, my service manager, Jim, was taking care of his lovely wife and doing a great job of it. And so I get a little bit of time away from the office in West Des Moines. I go up to Ankeny and was, you know, kind of going through and doing budgets and stuff. So I was listening to a lot of sports radio today. And I think I might have overreacted a little bit on, and I guess that's why they have the, college football playoff rankings. This is to get people to talk about it on the radio and give ESPN and Fox and everybody time to bring on all their people and try to cloud and gray up all everybody's thing. Listen, the winner of the Tennessee-Georgia game has a more direct avenue to get to the Final Four for the football playoff. So you have that. Now, when they go to 12 team and they, you know, there was no way they could go to 12 team this year. You're going to be pushing it to get to 12 teams next year just because you have to lock down sites. So you have to see what that looks like. But for by the time and see why next year would matter would be a little bit different because you're going to have, especially for like the Big 12, we're going to have two, we're adding four teams and we're keeping the two teams that are moving, which are Texas and Oklahoma. So they'll be together for one more year. I still think that the maneuvering around by teams it's not even close to being done yet. It's going to get down to being maybe a grouping of the, you know, whatever you want to call it. Some of the teams that maybe don't play football and do everything else, or some of the teams that aren't just as good or all of that, kind of getting in their own little section. I think the SEC and the Big Ten and the Big 12, and if you can do, I just don't, logistically, I don't know how you get where you go by the Pac-12 and the ACC staying the way that they are. The Pac-12's losing two people. I just don't know how much they have to offer to get two more people back. We went out while the iron was hot, and we picked up BYU, Cincinnati, Central Florida, and Houston. Picked up multi, you know, good on both football and basketball. You have some others that are out there. We don't need to talk about those today. But so the winner of this Georgia-Tennessee game, and the reason that it is so important for these is because of the ramifications of Tennessee beating Alabama. And that's okay. Because the way I look at this, when you look at the Southeastern Conference, you have Georgia, Tennessee, Kentucky, South Carolina, Missouri, Florida, and Vanderbilt. And then you have LSU, Ole Miss, Alabama. So all Alabama has to do right now is beat LSU, beat Mississippi, and beat Auburn. Now they have to do LSU and Mississippi on the road back-to-back weeks, and they play Austin Peay for some reason that they allow them to do that. And that's like a, hey, Nick, thank you for doing all you do for us at the NCAA, and they give him that game. And then they have Auburn, which Auburn used to be a big game. Auburn's looking for a new coach. Depending on who they get for that new coach, that could get that rivalry back to where it was. Tennessee still has games with Mizzou, South Carolina, Vanderbilt. Ohio State still has Michigan. Michigan still has Ohio State. So the winner of that's the one that looks like the most easy. Either Michigan or Ohio State looks like the most easy to get to one of those positions. In the Big 12, I understand that TCU is they're number seven. They probably should be higher. They should be above Alabama because Alabama has a loss. You know, then Alabama could be the best of the one-loss teams. That was one spot. They could have done a better job of handling that issue, so they didn't have to talk about it. TCU still has to – they still have to play Texas. They still have to play Baylor, and they still have to play ISU. And I'm going to tell you that no matter what you think of ISU, ISU and TCU – do not like each other, and that game is going to be a battle. No matter where Iowa State is at, if my hope is that Iowa State gets those two wins these next 2 weeks and then has that to become bowl eligible, then it even makes it bigger for them. And my thought process is that there's no Big 12 team that's going to get into the Final Four. I also agree with everybody, unless Alabama loses to LSU or Mississippi, and it's Lane Kiffin, and it's Brian Kelly, and I get it, but Alabama's been human. I mean, they barely beat Texas. They barely beat Texas A&M. They lost to Tennessee. They beat up on Mississippi State. Mississippi State's not in the same conversation as all the rest of those teams were. LSU and Mississippi are good teams. Can Alabama beat them? Absolutely. They need to keep their quarterback healthy. So I think, I mean, if I was a betting man, I say this is going to be pretty easy. It's Michigan or Ohio State is in. Whoever wins those games. I believe whoever wins the Tennessee-Georgia game is in. And then I believe in my heart of hearts, and maybe it's because I'm just going to say it, so I hope it doesn't happen. I think Alabama gets that unless they lose one of these two games, or if Austin Peay beats them, and that would be awesome. I'm not a believer in Clemson. I would take a one loss Michigan or a one loss Ohio State if they came back through, and then won a Big Ten. If they win a Big Ten championship on top of that, I would take a one loss team. I may take a two loss team Alabama or a two loss team Tennessee over Clemson. I don't think Clemson's played anybody. I just don't. They've had tougher roads before. They've made it. They've gotten the benefit of the doubt before in rankings. I just don't think it works that way anymore. I don't think that people see Clemson the same way. And I think the simple fact that people don't think of Clemson in the same way anymore is what is going to happen to the ACC, because that's your best team and nobody thinks they play a hard enough schedule to be able to jump somebody that might have more losses that play a tougher schedule. That's why I think the ACC is not for long once all these things start to break that way. You know, that's I still think in my heart of hearts that Georgia is the best team in college football. And the only reason that I'm saying that is we just haven't seen Tennessee in the last two or three years. When are they going to have their oops game? And are they good enough to win an oops game, where the quarterback has a couple of fumbles and throws a couple of picks? You know, Alabama's good enough to overcome an oops game. I don't think Alabama's good enough to cover up two oops games. And the reason for that is, I think, fatigue. Nick Saban fatigue. I have Nick Saban fatigue. I'm tired of hearing about how great a dude he is. I'm done. My other thought process on all of this is, Brian Kelly was maligned when he was at Notre Dame because he didn't win a championship, and they always thought that all their records were hollow. I don't believe that at all. It is very difficult for Notre Dame to get the same type of students. The students that can get into Alabama, Georgia, and Tennessee don't all get in to Notre Dame. With talent that he has at LSU, and the coach that Brian Kelly is, because I think he might be a better coach than all of those guys. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. Be back right after this break.
Time to throw over the middle. Juju Smith-Schuster wide open, 25-20. Jukes the safety, 10, gets a block. Angling near side pylon, touchdown, Kansas City.
This Sunday night, the Chiefs welcome the Tennessee Titans to GEHA Field at Arrowhead for Sunday Night Football. Pregame starts at 6 right here on your home for Kansas City Chiefs football.
101.3 and 1700, the champ. 1.3 and 17. Nothing's off limits. Join the conversation now on Twitter at Steen on Sports. 1700, the champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Happy Friday. Last segment of this first hour already. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, real sports talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports and at 1700 The Champ. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ. And the website is 1700thechamp.com. Tomorrow, the biggest thing on the radio is going to be you and I, South Dakota State. It'll be here 3 o'clock pregame. What else do we have here? This segment will be brought to you by Northwest Bank. Commitment that you can bank on. Taking care of your personal, business, mortgage, agriculture, private banking, wealth management, and insurance needs every day your way. Locations in West Des Moines, 2 in Ankeny, 1 in Ames, 3 locations in Omaha, and many across the northwest side of the state. Northwest Financial Group, once again, earned Top Workplace Award for the 8th year in a row. If you would go in and meet the people, you would understand why. Check out Northwest Bank mobile app for ease of doing banking whenever your phone is in your hand. It's pretty slick. It works pretty easy. Also, take advantage of applying online for loans from Northwest Bank. Once again, don't wait and open up an account with Northwest Bank. Commitment that you can count on. Member FDIC. Okay, just some quick things here. This is kind of an interesting one. Iowa, and this was Chris Hassel, said Iowa has seen a couple of long winning streaks in the season. 6 straight against Iowa State, 8 straight against Illinois. He's hoping this one stays together tomorrow. Iowa has won 11 games in a row in November. Notre Dame is 16-0 in November, so that takes them back at least 5 years. Louisiana has 15 games in a row. I just saw something else in here that I... Victor Wembanyama, the 7'2" guy. I had somebody show me his highlights from his game today. He had 33 points, 12 rebounds, 4 assists, and 3 blocks. What a real deal. I mean, if you were, I'm looking at this from an above the top angle. So you can't even tell how much bigger he is than everybody else. But then when they do an up close thing and you look and you see, and he is 7'2" and he's doing the things that he's doing, it's quite amazing. What a player. Who knows if people are going to be tanking for him, because boy, are they taking a close eye towards that. This one is for my father-in-law Bumpa. If he was alive today, he would hear this, and I think it would make him happy. Jimmy Johnson didn't stay away from NASCAR for very long. He's always been a part of Hendrick Motorsports. You know, it's a different time at Hendrick Motorsports. And he is coming back, and he is going to work for the Petty team, Richard Petty's team. He has signed a deal to become part owner and part-time driver. I think he's going to race 4 races next year, and then he'll see how that goes. But NASCAR is better when Jimmy Johnson is involved. He did a great job in IRL. Drivers loved him. Fans loved him. I think it was too much. He doesn't want to race that much, and he wants to be more involved. And if you're the type of person that he is, there's more involvement in setting up a car and doing all that in NASCAR than there is in Indy. So it's going to be really interesting to see. But what a big that's a big thing for Jimmy Johnson. I think it's a great thing for Richard Petty Motorsports. Just wanted to give a little bit of an update. My wife and I were going to the game tomorrow. My oldest Zach and Hannah are going with us. It's his birthday present from us. We're taking him up. He's going to sit with us up in Sukup. Nice enough that we had a couple that sit in front of us that weren't going to be at the game and let us purchase their tickets. Here is a game day parking update. It just came across. Donor lots open at 7 a.m. Public lots open at 8:30 a.m. starting with lot G3. The grass parking lots will open for single game parking only to those who have pre-purchased parking access. If you're trying to pay for parking When you get there, you will not be able to park there. There'll be no parking passes sold at lot entrances on game day. In order to help avoid wet areas within the lots, we will only be opening up one grass lot at a time and directing cars where to park. So be nice, understand, and have fun. Was that? I'm trying to be stern. I hope that worked. So, the most important part of that is to be safe. I just had someone send this to me, sent me a picture of it. So Max Duggan, who is the quarterback for TCU, they want to start getting him out there for the Heisman. They were trying to think of something to do. And my kids would get this. I'm not as good at this as they are, but it's the House of Duggan. Instead of the House of Dragon, it's the House of Duggan for whatever the name of that, the Game of Thrones. It's pretty cool, actually. Purple. It's actually a really cool shirt. One of the other things I wanted to talk about yesterday, and I didn't get a chance, the new match. So the match has always been, it's either been Phil, it's been Tiger. Phil's going to have a little bit tougher time getting into that now because of, and I don't think this is going to be a forever thing, right? I really don't. But the new match for next year, here's the four participants. It's Tiger, Rory, JT, and Spieth, Jordan Spieth. So Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth. And I'm like, okay, man, there are so many different ways that they can go with this. How are they going to team them? And they took the easy one. It's going to be Tiger and Rory against JT and Jordan Spieth, which is going to be fun. That might be the most attractive one that I've got to see so far. I think that's the coolest one that we have gotten to see so far. I did see even more today with Jeff Bezos and Jay-Z looking at purchasing the Commanders. The interesting thing, and a few people had talked about this today, with Amazon being a part of the NFL package, I am wondering what he would have to do if he has to diversify, or however you want to say that, the correct way to get rid of some assets to be able to. It's not going to be a money thing for Jay-Z or Bezos to be able to jump into the NFL football world. Just like it wasn't a huge deal for Walmart with the Walton family coming in and purchasing the Denver Broncos, it's not going to be a big deal for Amazon. But it is interesting to see if what are the ramifications being? I mean, does that mean that the Washington Football Commanders can never be on football because of Thursday Night Football because of Amazon? I mean, it just has some stuff in there that has meaning. So that would be kind of interesting. I'm looking forward to doing that. I didn't even get to talk about this one very much yesterday, and I only have a minute here, and I may pull this back up in the last segment. But the NBA Players Association and the Major League Baseball Players Association are partnering with a third party. It hasn't said who the third party is yet, but there's a lot of social companies out there. And it's to assist athletes with their social media and social media sponsorships and just their sponsorships. I think what you're seeing with the NFL, that the football part of it is getting more intense and more diversified. You know, this is how much you're working out, and you have this many more games and all of that. And I also think that when you look at, NFL football players compared to Major League Baseball doesn't do a very good job with their social media either. Not very many. But the NBA does, and I don't even know if the NBA has control over it, but the NBA players have a very good handle on social media. There are a lot of social media savvy people. The NFL, with wearing a helmet and everything, having a huge social media aspect to that, I think is a big deal. We might talk about that a little bit coming up later in the show. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM. Real sports talk for real sports fans. NFL next.